You're telling your friends about the encounter with the aliens.
I didn't
and have no explanation, no pictures, no nothing on the phone.
It's almost like an alien abduction. It's like missing time, but it's close, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm kind of not believing your story. I mean,
I don't expect you to believe my story. I mean, you don't have to.
Kind of like those guys.
It happened to me. I was abducted. There. I was there. I saw it. I know.
I saw them. They had the big eyes and the round head.
I saw them.
I've seen Jesus play with flames in a lake of fire. I was standing in. Met the devil in Seattle. Spent 9 months inside the lion's den. Met Buddha yet another time. He showed me a glowing light within. But I swear that God was there every time I go to the eyes of my best friend. Says my son, it's all been done. Someday you're gonna wake up old and gray. Go and try and have some fun.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And tonight it's a family reunion episode in that we got another big dog host over here on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network joining us for his annual visit. And I am so excited to have Dave Romero of the BS and Beer Saints podcast with us this evening, joining us again, a repeat guest. Dave, we had a lot of fun the last time you were here, so I'm very excited to have you back tonight. Dude, what's going on? Welcome to Taking the Over. How excited are you to get weird with me tonight?
Man, okay, so we did have a lot of fun last time, and you encourage it. So I was just mentioning to you guys behind the scenes, sometimes I wish everyone could just see like the text group and all the stuff that gets said there. Although then I would also say that there's probably stuff people would not like us anymore if they saw some of the stuff that we keep saying to each other. Like, he's so mean, but it's always so much fun, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I love listening to your show. Like I've said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to like Saints analysis and really getting serious, I prefer listening to your podcast over any other.
Man, you know? I appreciate that. That means a lot. I've been doing this a long time. I'm a diehard Saints fan, which makes it easy because a lot of the other things, until last year, I did a radio show on ESPN 1400 in Lexington about Kentucky. You know, sports, whether it's football, baseball, whatever, the University of Kentucky. And quite frankly, and it was a once a week Saturday show. And quite frankly, it just got to the point where I'm like, meh, but yet I could talk for hours Saints, you know? And so it's just a completely different beast. It's a labor of love.
But to throw this out there, cause I had this thought the other night, how many people are listening to your show on ESPN Lexington, Kentucky?
Uh-huh.
Versus how many people listen to your shit, like download your podcast. I think that podcasts that get the kind of numbers that our podcasts get more listens, more ears, touches more people than a 1 or 2 hour time slot on a, you know,
Saturday
secondary
afternoon.
Market. Who's listening, you know?
Yes.
I truly believe that. Like, so it's almost like, yeah, I mean, the podcast is the thing. The podcast shouldn't be looked down upon compared to traditional media.
Not anymore.
You're touching more people with this than with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So sales wise, you know, generally they said it was generally about a 2,000 person listening audience. So, but then that also depends on, you know, unlike a podcast, you can't tell with celestial radio how many people are actually listening. So they have their estimates based on certain reports and however they figure that out. But I think there's some validity to what you're saying. Well, and you even seen it in the mainstream now that while podcasting was supposed to be the end of radio,
right?
And that didn't really work out that way. But you can now see where it used to be that, you know, I could sit back and be like, yeah, I'm a radio guy, and I've but you have podcasters who are, who get better, more downloads than you actually have, like you mentioned.
Oh yeah.
Last
more
year,
more people download Joe Rogan than fucking watch 60 Minutes.
Right, absolutely.
That, that stat came out a couple years ago. Like,
and that's kind of extreme because he's what, the most successful podcaster.
Right.
You know,
right,
so, but one of the things that hurts us is the fact that we're so, unique's not the right word. What am I looking for, Gunn? When it, we specific, mm-hmm. we would get more listens if we were the NFC South podcast.
Oh, sure.
And then we get more listens if we were the NFC podcast. And then sure. we get more listens if we were the NFL podcast. So we kind of hurt ourselves as far as listenership by being so specific. And sometimes, you know, like I was dealing with the COVID thing over the last couple of days, weeks or month.
Right.
And I'd listen to every single, and I really try to avoid listening to a lot of other podcasts because I don't want it to influence what I want to say.
Right.
But what I realized is after a game, there's only so much you can see and talk about. And so you realize like everybody in a different way is saying the same thing.
Dave, I'm guilty of having a very short attention span for analysis. I'm very guilty of that. Like broad, like I see it. This is what it should be. Blah, 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 let's move on.
Right.
You know, like I think I'm very, very guilty of that. And you've gotten me into Saints talk, and I got you here. So we're doing a little bit of Saints talk. Sorry, folks. More Saints talk.
Yeah, more Saints talk.
More Saints talk. But what I'm going to say is very broad. What I'm going to say is very broad. And I said this in the offseason. I made this point. There's nothing wrong with the Saints being a run-oriented team that plays solid defense. That's the safest way to win football games. That's actually the most dominant way to play football games. And I wonder if, I've listened to, like you, I've listened to other Saints podcasts, all the analysis, what people are saying out there. And it's like, y'all, what are y'all fucking upset about? That we're playing like the Pittsburgh Steelers in the mid 90s, you know, like
to me, Billy, it has the most to do with it's new. It's a change. It's different from what. Well, okay. And I'll even go as far as saying,
Dave, you got a whole, and I hate to interrupt you, but it's this, you have a whole generation of Saints fans. I mean, the Peyton Breeze era was 15 years. A whole generation of Saints fans. Pundit, I mean, not just like professional. I mean, the writers that know nothing other than Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
Right.
Playing the and they're not even tenured enough to remember the first couple of years of Brees and Payton.
Right.
It was a more run-oriented team.
Right. Well, okay. And what I was going to say is it's the perceived change, because here's the point I was going to make. The change really happened over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But even in my show yesterday, I pointed out that even in my own mind last year, I kept waiting in my mind. It's just a matter of time. They're going to put it together and it's going to be that high scoring offense. And then we get two defensive touchdowns and a punt return. You score 41 points. You're like, there it is. And you expect it the next week. But unlike, 09, 10, 11, 12, it kind of didn't happen. And the thing is, the fans just still perceive, because Drew Brees is there, we're effective, we're efficient. Now the team is built for defense and the run game, and people are freaking out. Yeah, they are just like, this is not what I want or expect. And I believe it's going to get better.
It could change mid-year. Like I said, we're doing what we have to do now.
Right.
Just follow the money. Look at the Saints offense, and what have we invested in? Well, we've invested in Alvin Kamara. We've invested in the line. We've invested in Michael Thomas, that's not here, if your premium investments are, if you've spent your draft capital and cap room capital on offensive linemen and fucking running backs on the field, why is it such a foreign concept that that's how we're going to live and die on offense right now?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. It's crazy. I listened to one this afternoon that you recommended.
I didn't recommend it. I was listening to it.
I said, you recommended. And I went, my fucking head hurts so much. But I'm a masochist. I'm going to keep listening. Dude. I was like, what are you fucking people upset about?
Oh, my God. And that's a show. If you get tired of analysis, after a while, it's just sometimes I realize, because I used to be more like analysis oriented, scout oriented. Mm-hmm. And I started realizing it's amazing. People really don't care about that much. They want to hear some cool stats, but they do not want to hear a show that's almost completely designed, breaking down everything. And you know what I'm saying? So people like to hear conversation, interesting conversation, a little bit of insight, you know? So kind of like what I'm going to bring to your gambling show.
Oh, you're going to love the gambling show. You still not a gambling guy, right?
No, never been. But what I lack in gambling, I make up with having some money and losing it to guys like you. So that's my contribution to the gambling world.
Well, you know, we're glad to have you in the gambling world. Like most guests, like I said, most of my guests, Dave, they're not big gamblers. So it makes the show most accessible because most of my listenership is not big gamblers. But they're about to be. Dude, Louisiana gambling industry is about to pull its big dick out and whack you over the head with it. I retweeted an article from Colorado last night. You know, Colorado's had legal gambling since like last season or maybe the season before. And dude, like people are complaining. They're writing their fucking congressman about the amount of advertising that they're subjected to for sports wagering in Colorado. The Coloradans are upset at how much. And it, dude, it's going to be that way here too. It's going to be too much. As a gambling person, I'm not excited about it.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's a given. I don't care if they would have brought in. I'm trying to think of something really stupid and really funny, and nothing's coming to my mind. But
they would have legalized midget wrestling.
Yes, they are going to
with midget wrestling.
Yes, advertise. You'll be getting phone calls from. This is Teresa. Have you gotten your tickets to the? You know, I mean, you're like, how'd you get my number? Quit calling me at work.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot. I mean, I'm still excited, but it's just, I'm worried about all of the inundation. And I mean, you see gambling soaking through into the presentation of the games now. ESPN, NFL Network, they've all got the lines next to everything on the schedule. I mean, I like it because I like to fucking see that. But it's just everywhere. And so, you know, it's a weird dilemma to have as someone that hosts a sports gambling podcast going, guys, I just want to tell you, you're gonna get annoyed by it eventually.
Well, I mean, I can see how they're not really. I mean, those aren't two things. It's like I might love football, but I'm not really trying to see fantasy football commercials. I mean, who's really trying to see any commercials all the time anyway, about anything?
Right, especially
in this day and age. The gambling part of it that I find interesting is it's not that I gamble, but I find that when you can look at football or any sports, but I'm a football guy. So when you look at it through the prism of gambling, I just like saying, I see why they're doing what they're doing. One of the things, like, for instance, football, the reason the lines are the way they are is because they know that mostly in college, you'll have a guy, a coach, and they will score 70 points on an inferior team. In the NFL, once they get the lead, second half football, everybody gets upset because they're playing prevent. All they're trying to do is run out the clock, and they're happy to win 20-17. And so you know why they set the line. It's not because they think that team's only capable of beating the other team by three. It's because they know how they will play the game.
Right.
And most I find NFL, that part of it interesting.
It is. Most NFL lines, if it's north of a touchdown, you know, it's a lot. You know what I mean? The spread's more than seven or six. It's a big deal. You know, it's like an ass whooping supposed to be coming. But that's one of the interesting things about gambling and the NFL and the outcomes so far this year. Dude, underdogs, okay, through so far in the season, underdogs, just straight up actual underdogs, are 21-27, meaning the team that's not supposed to win has just outright won, not even counting the spread, Dave, 21 out of 48 games.
Wow.
And then when you incorporate the spread, underdogs thus far this season have won 30 of 48. So 30-18 the underdogs are against the spread.
I like it. I like it. Now, as long as it's not the Saints, I like when the underdogs are pulling out these wins.
Yeah, it's what you're seeing a lot of. You know, you're seeing more unders than overs this year, but there's a very, very interesting stat. Like, you know, I'm a big guy on the totals. The under has hit 28 times and the over has hit 20 times so far in games this year. But on prime time games, Thursday night games, Sunday night games, and Monday night games, the over has hit 8 of 9 times.
You mean so far this year?
So far this year.
Okay.
It's just, okay. You know, you can look to stuff like that, and I try to incorporate it into, you know, my picks. I mean, I like to talk about shit. Like, this isn't really, a lot of times when you have a gambling show, people think, oh, I'm supposed to listen for, you know, this is the way to make, I'm just here not really for advice, just for information and a love and appreciation of gambling and weird shit.
Let's not forget the Dave Romero lead pipe lock of the week. Mm-hmm. Pays your rent, pays your car note.
I can't
everything.
Wait to hear it. Okay. Is there a hotline I got to call for it?
No. You know, we're giving it here one time only.
Okay.
It's annual giveaway. And that is another reason people would come into your show to listen to the Dave Romero lead pipe lock of the week. We used to do it on a weekly basis, but I felt like I was just giving money away. So I've reduced it to only your show, exclusively Excellent. Here. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for doing that. You're a very generous man. One more thing, and then we'll get to the games and the rundown. I had a very interesting experience this Sunday afternoon, right about the time of the late game. And it's ironic, and I don't know if it was like the universe working with me or against me or what, but I am a noted hater of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I don't like Joe Buck and I don't like Troy Aikman.
Okay.
And they were calling, of course, the big game of the week, which is Tampa Bay at the LA Rams. And I was moving all around, watching games over here, watching games on phones, watching games on iPads, watching games on, you know, as I do every Sunday. And then, like, Saints are the early game. Jump on the instant reaction show, moving around, cooking chicken wings, doing a lot of things. I
multitasking.
Go, yes. Smoking marijuana, doing a lot of things.
All of it.
Everything's happened. I go to start watching the game, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Tampa Bay at LA Rams. And the broadcast is in Spanish on Fox 8, New Orleans.
Okay.
Just for me. Nobody else.
Do you speak Spanish?
I do not speak. I speak French, though. Oh, okay. I do not speak Spanish.
Okay. Yeah. Not similar at all. But anyway.
No. French is completely useless, whereas Spanish would be a fantastic and wonderful language for me to know.
Right. Yeah. They didn't tell us that like 30 years ago.
No. Fucking Louisiana public schools were like, let's take French.
Yes.
French. It's like four countries that fucking use French. Stupid. One of them's France.
No foresight.
Yeah,
no, dude. No forward thinking at all.
So I did not adjust the settings. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. But the whole I was watching the Spanish broadcast, and no one else in the world was.
I'm trying to figure out what you did. I mean,
I don't know. I didn't do anything. I did not fuck with the settings. I know how that can happen. I have like elderly parents, you know. I've got people that call me every time they're having a internet outage at their home. You know, right. I've got, you know, I had still help people with cable and stuff.
Right.
This was not on me, dude. But I got the whole first half in fucking Spanish.
Okay. So I got to ask then, have you been engaging in any usage of recreational of the recreational nature?
Well,
maybe
mean,
it really wasn't Spanish.
I'm a medical patient.
Maybe it was English, and you just thought it was Spanish.
No. I don't know what was happening. It was
I'm
like
brainstorming.
It was supernatural. I looked around, like on social media, no one was complaining of this.
Huh. I find this weird. Is there a conclusion to the story? Do you tell us
there's
that you
no
found
conclusion.
Out what happened?
There's no conclusion.
So the spaceship landed.
It went back at halftime. I got back to English broadcasting.
And then it took off and left, and you're telling your friends about the encounter with the aliens.
I didn't
and have no
anything
explanation, no pictures, no nothing on the phone.
It's almost like an alien abduction. It's like missing time, but it's close, dude.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of not believing your story. I mean,
I don't know what I don't expect you to believe my story. I mean, you don't have to.
kind of like those guys.
It happened to me. I was abducted. There. I was there. I saw it. I know.
I saw them. They had big eyes and the round head.
I saw them.
And nobody's going to believe you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to say.
There's no fucking. Figured there's out what no. I got in a. I got in a. There's. I got in like a glitch in the Matrix. Dude. It happens. Okay. It happens. Thursday night football. Jacksonville's dude. This is a Thursday night game of Thursday night games. I mean, the NFL's really outdone themselves with the shitty Thursday night game this week.
No, they've been good so far. No. I mean, pretty good. Decent. Well,
had,
okay.
Here's what's the not showcase fair about that. Game week one.
Okay. Week what two. Happens is early in the season, you don't yet realize the teams you're watching are bad and they will be, you know, three win teams. So maybe that's what it is. But like the first few weeks, you know, they're only 1-2. So you're like, hey, they have a shot, you know?
I don't think that Cincinnati's going to be a bad team this year. I just think that it's punishment that they choose to put on Thursday night Jacksonville traveling to Cincinnati, where Cincinnati's a 7.5 point favorite. Total on this game is 46.
Okay. So 46. And I mean, you got LSU, the LSU Bengals.
Mm-hmm. That's what people think. People think the Cincinnati's like LSU something.
You know, man, listen, when you look
the truth, at though, right?
You look at Jacksonville's roster, and I get that they're playing a rookie. I got to tell you, I'm sure he will develop because he has all the raw skills.
Peyton Manning sucked his first year. Troy Aikman was garbage for his whole fucking career, but he tries to say he just sucked his first couple years.
Trevor Lawrence, you know, I mean, we'll see where it goes. But being an NFL, just, I mean, I eat up all the games I can watch, and it's just not very good. And I mean, they have some decent skill positions, and 7.5 is a lot. But after what the Bengals did last week, you know, I don't know if this, are we picking or what are we doing here? We're just giving a little commentary.
Do you feel strong? If I gave you $100,
uh-huh.
You can either, I'm going to let you run. Look, don't spend it all at once or do.
This sounds like the thing you do with your girlfriend. You give her $100 and then she wins and you're like, can I get my money? And she's like, it's all mine.
Yeah. But there's no actual money. So it's not coming either way.
All right.
I mean, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing one bet this week, but it's a three-way teaser.
Okay.
And so I'm doing 6 points on three different games. I get to move the line 6 points, and I'm going to talk about them as we get there. And it's, I actually feel very strongly about this, and I've had to buckle down. I mean, dude, I had a bad week 2 weeks ago. This week I ended up going 5-7, mainly because I tailed my cat who went – like 2-3, you know. Mm-hmm. But I did good because I hit like two parlays that ended up doing really, really, like, and these weren't even bets that I shared on the pod, which is weird, but I mean, I did really, really well on those. I think we were all watching the Green Bay game in the chat, and I was like, fuck yeah, when Green Bay kicked that field goal, it unleashed a gambling bounty for me, and it was,
yes, you were telling
me
about that.
It was nice to bathe in that, to shower in the glory of that. It was gambling zen, you know. But this week, I'm going to be pretty disciplined. There's three games that I like. This is not one of them. I mean, if this was not a Thursday night game, I wouldn't, like, and I love to watch as many games as I can on Sunday. I probably wouldn't watch this.
No. Yeah, I mean, okay. I think Cincinnati has some potential, and maybe I'm a little bit biased.
They do. Because, they do.
But playing against, they're a team that's not great. Trey Hendrickson actually had his first good game last week. I think Cincinnati wins this game. The reason I wouldn't watch it, maybe we should make a segment called Why I'm Not Going to Watch This Game. Mm-hmm. But Jacksonville, it's just, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So they make it hard to watch. Cincinnati could play a better team and I'd watch the game because I think it might be competitive. So, anyway, I definitely going with the Bengals, and Jacksonville's just a dumpster fire.
It feels like Urban Meyer's going to be one and done.
Yeah. I don't know if his health can manage to, hell, he might not make it through the season.
And he'll use his health as the excuse for sure.
Yeah.
Washington football team is traveling to play our hated Atlanta Falcon rivals in Atlanta. Washington is a 1.5 point favorite on the road at Atlanta. Total on this game is 47.5. Dave, I thought that Atlanta would win last week, and they did.
Nice.
I am traditionally a big advocate of football team. If I were going to get involved in a side on this game, I would take Atlanta and the 1.5. I'm staying away from totals this week. 47.5 doesn't even mean anything to me, but I feel like this is one of those bullshit games. Atlanta's going to stack up some wins, even being shitty Atlanta, just to, you know, it's an NFC team. Fuck it. This is the kind of game that Atlanta somehow wins, even though they are like bottom three worst fucking teams in the league this year.
Yeah, they're pretty awful. Boy, I tell you, like, you, when you get to two teams that are this bad, you really have to dig down into the roster to figure out why. Or maybe sometimes you just have to look at it from the top and say why. But look, Matt Ryan's not a bad quarterback. There's good receivers. They have. But then I look at Washington, and the thing that's supposed to stand out for them is their defensive line. Problem is that right. They haven't played that great a defense. Now, no. Here's the thing, and I, you know me, every analogy about football is going to use the Saints. Back in the day, if a team had a great defensive line and some fast linebackers but had holes in the secondary, you were like, yeah, Drew Brees is going to pick that team apart. And so you know that you can bypass the strength to get to the weakness when you had a guy like Drew Brees. Well, now I look at a team like Washington, I say, man, if you can't throw the ball very well, you're going to struggle to run. If you can't run, then you're going to have guys on third down and long coming after you. But Washington hasn't really shown that. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's one of those things like we're complaining about the Saints offense. Well, they will get better as the season goes on, and maybe that defense will get better. But I maybe just to be contrary to what you're saying, I think I'm going to go ahead because it really has a lot to do with how you pronounce it? Heineke? Taylor Heineke?
Yeah, Heineke.
He's a young guy, and he has played some good football, but at the same time, he plays some bad football. So
yeah. Hasn't played much winning football.
If he can play some good football against Atlanta,
right.
I think that they could probably win that game. So I'm going to go with I'll go with Washington.
There you go. Next game on the dais is the Detroit Lions traveling to take on the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Chicago is a 3-point home favorite. Now, Dave, I had my eyes on Chicago and Cleveland last week, and I was optimistic to see something exciting out of Fields at quarterback for Chicago. And I did see something exciting, and that was him getting sacked 6 times. I had a prop bet for him to get over like 47.5 yards rushing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he ran backwards something like 60-something yards.
I don't remember the exact statistics, but it was something about he had 60-something yards passing.
Yeah, one more yard. He had one net yard passing. One net. Right. In modern NFL, they don't count for the quarterback stats. When he gets sacked, let's say he's got 20 yards passing, already, if he gets sacked, they don't count that 10 against his individual stat. They will sometimes count it against, like, if you're saying the team stat, that aggregate, right? Yeah, they had one net passing yard when you counted for the sacks.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I've seen some really bad games where quarterbacks play poorly and didn't have any yards, but I've never seen anything like it.
When you've got Detroit, who took Baltimore to the brink and required a, you know, breaking of Jason Elam's record kick in order to win that game. 66
yards.
Fucking doinks off the crossbar, spins into the net. I mean, and I'm the kind of idiot that will tell you how awful Detroit is and then get behind them every week.
Right.
I mean, like, I feel better with Detroit and the 3 points. I think this is one of those divisional matchups where Detroit sneaks into Chicago, grabs a win, and like the Nagy regime is going down. You know, when you've got fake Twitter accounts already starting to do the he's fired like headlines, and people are liking it and sharing it and all, like that's a 21st year 2021 harbinger of doom for an NFL head coach.
look, man, I don't know if now I'm just at the point where you just kind of pull for Detroit just for, you know, and again, I mean, look, their head, Dan Campbell's their coach. Right. So you kind of say, well, you know, it's an old Saint guy and you want to see him be successful. the reason that I have to think that Chicago, they're a better overall team. And there's the words that Andy Dalton will probably start this week. And I think that's going to go a long way to just not that they'll be significantly better, but they won't be like, you know, the whole thing where maybe the ceiling doesn't go up, but the floor isn't so low. So you don't have the chance for so many mistakes.
Right.
And, but Detroit is a team that they're resilient. And at least at this point, they are fighting hard and they've been in every game. You know, in week two, I was in a conflict with myself and I'm like, do I want to see Green Bay lose because we beat them? No, you know, I want them to be the greatest team and we beat this great team, not the team that's fell apart. And so I watched all of that game closely and Detroit was fighting. And it wasn't until later in the second half that Green Bay started pulling away. So I think these two teams, I mean, it's a toss up. But I feel like I would have to go with the Bears because I do think they're an overall better team. And if Andy Dalton is starting, then that means there'll be less mistakes. And I think that they'll find a way to win it. Well, now, what was the spread again?
Three.
Yeah, so I think I'd have to go with Chicago.
Excellent. I'm taking Detroit in three.
All right.
Next game is Tennessee traveling to take on the New York Jets. Now, Tennessee has looked pretty much like I expected Tennessee to look this year, right? I mean, you're getting vintage Tennessee. The Jets are as bad as ever, except they've got a better coach now while they're being as bad as ever. So there is hope for the future. they don't have Gage anymore. But Tennessee's coming into New Jersey 7-point favorites. A full 7 points. Tennessee minus 7. Total on this game is 44. Dave, this is one of those games that I mentioned earlier. I'm doing a three-way 6-point teaser. I'm taking Tennessee from minus 7, and I'm taking them down to minus 1.
Okay.
So I need that to hit. I need Tennessee to win by 1. Right?
Okay. Gotcha.
At least. If they tie, I'm still good, by the way. If they only won by, I don't lose this bet if they only win by 1. But I'm taking them from minus 7, which I had no doubt that Tennessee's going to win this football game. No doubt in my mind that Tennessee's going to win.
Right.
There's no scenario that Tennessee doesn't win this football game. Just not by 7. We're going to take it down by 1. We're going to try and beat the machines and beat the bookies and beat Satan and you know, fuck with the line, right? What's your thoughts on Tennessee traveling to the Jets?
Okay. This is going to be easy when Zach Wilson, unlike, you know, we play Jones. I thought in the first half, and I made comments, Jones looked like he was handling things a lot better. He's getting the ball out. Mm-hmm. He's getting them to receive. Man, and listen, I don't go out of my way to watch the New York Jets, but if you realize they played New England last week and the week before it, they were playing Saints opponents. So I've watched them very closely.
Right.
Zach Wilson is essentially what Fields was in the sense that he's just not ready. And look, he might be the best quarterback out of the class. I'm not picking on these guys. They're rookies in their third start. He throws up punts with no pressure. It just, some of his passes are, he didn't zip it in there and somebody cut him off, or he was being, literally backpedaling, just throwing balls up. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because he's just a guy who will give the Titans opportunities to not only get score turnovers, but maybe scores off of the turnover. So it's just easy that Tennessee's a good team, much better than the Jets, and the Jets will give you every opportunity. And here's why I point that out. The spread's pretty big.
Yep.
And you might say, well, that's a lot. But with the way that the Jets are playing football, it's not. They will give you every opportunity. Even when you're trying to run the clock out, here comes Wilson to throw you one, a pick six, and you get those extra points.
Right. It almost feels like, you know, and you say, and it's interesting to compare Mac Jones to Wilson. I feel like they've got something with Mac Jones. I feel like they've got something there.
I agree.
With Wilson, I don't feel comfortable saying that yet. Like I said, you're giving him the benefit of a doubt. Hey, Mac's got something that Zach doesn't, you know, and it ain't the magic underwear that Zach's got.
And I know that I'm getting into stuff I probably shouldn't. Jones, I completely agree with you. Even though he ended up with three interceptions or what have you, early in the game, he may not have been completing everything, but we bring him pressure. He's getting the ball out, and he's getting the ball out to the right guy.
Jones ended up in a mental place that Zach Wilson appears to start in.
Yes.
By the fourth quarter, Mac Jones was where Zach Wilson was.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, hey, look, we go back to the second game of the year and Winston, you cannot apply that kind of pressure the entire game and think a quarterback will not crack eventually. So at some point there is no quarterback that can handle that kind of pressure all game long. So that's why I said the first half, because the second half, the wheels kind of came off the wagon.
Cleveland's traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota is a 2.5-point home underdog. Total on that one's 51. I don't know. Look, I used to live near Cleveland. I don't know if some of that rubbed off on me, but even in the recent past where it's trendy to load up on the Browns and pick the Browns every year, I still don't believe it with the Browns. I still don't believe it with the Browns. And so Minnesota's one of those teams that, dude, I mean, they're going to figure out a way to 28 to 34 points up every week, and you know their quarterback is going to quietly throw three fucking touchdowns every week. You might throw two or three picks, but like at home to a Cleveland team that I still don't believe in, I feel like if I was going this way, I would feel Minnesota in the points, 2.5.
Minnesota's like a sneaky team. For the life of me, as much as I probably make jokes about Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. he's a good quarterback. Now,
yeah.
Is he next level? No.
No.
But he is a good, consistent NFL quarterback. And I could see as a fan, you might say, well, I want better. I want a guy to win Super Bowls. And he hasn't really been that guy or done that. But you get rid of him and you end up with somebody that can't play at all. So he's a catch-22 guy, but he's a good, solid player. The Vikings, good, solid team. They usually play great defense. The Browns are, to me, so inconsistent. Now, inconsistent, but good inconsistent. They're not like the bad teams inconsistent. They're like a good team, but depending on what's going on, Baker Mayfield, man, he just has the propensity to sometimes make that big mistake at the wrong time. At least that's my perception.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And God, it's a hard one. I think these are two really – close teams, and you know what, I'm gonna go with Cleveland, and this is more of a gut thing because, and maybe I listen to the media too much, but they just seem like the team that's just right there, that's supposed to break out and take the next step. And Minnesota seems like that middle of pack team that, yeah, you know, they squeeze into the playoffs, or they might not, but the chances of them winning their first round game, that kind of thing. So I'm gonna go with Cleveland and assume that these guys are, you know, still taking that step to being better.
I hear you, bro.
Not to mention their AFC team beat an NFC team.
That's really, oh yeah, that'd help you out too, right?
Yep.
Indy is traveling to Miami in the Jacoby Brissett Revenge Bowl. dude, I've been dogging Indy since the summer. Them going out and getting Carson Wentz is the craziest fucking thing in the world. I understand that's Frank Reich's guy and all, but Indianapolis coming out and doing that, I knew they were doomed. And it turns out they've not yet won a game. They're traveling to take on the Dolphins. Again, Jacoby Brissett, they put on a fun game against the Raiders last week. It was a blast to watch that game the whole second half. Miami is 2-point home favorites. It's Miami -2 is the line on that game. 42.5 is the total. I'm sorry. I'm going to continue. I think that this one's going to be an absolute riot. I feel like there's a lot of games this week that aren't very compelling, but for some reason, the Jacoby Brissett Revenge Bowl is something I'm really excited about, looking forward to. And fuck it, I'm putting my money on Jacoby Brissett to be the jilted lover that says, fuck you, Indianapolis. Fuck you. Enjoy your fucking Carson Wentz, you motherfuckers.
Okay. boy, what a, I mean, all I heard about, and I didn't feel this way. Indianapolis Colts are one of those teams, you know, like we were talking about the Browns. They're taking the next step. They just need this or that, the other. It's so many things that are interesting to me. Carson Wentz, when he was with the Eagles that year they won the Super Bowl, even though he wasn't the quarterback, he was unbelievable. I remember watching games just saying, God, man, this team's going to be so good for so long. How did this guy just fall apart the way he has? And that's exactly what he's done. Now, hell, he can't even stay healthy. He can't even spell healthy. Now, on the other hand, did you hear the rumors that started breaking around on Wednesday that the Dolphins, not that it'll affect this game, but the Dolphins are now the trade for Watson is and Houston.
Are they going to get Deshaun Watson again?
Yeah. Now, look, does it really happen? But the reports weren't like they're talking. It's like it's happening. So it didn't happen by the end of the day. I mean, it's, you know, 9:30 and haven't heard anything yet. But anyway, okay, so as far as the game goes, I don't know what happened to Indianapolis. Miami's not that good of a football team. Indy last year was like a team that good defense, run the ball, but their quarterback situation got worse. So,
yeah,
Lord, I don't know, man. This is a hard one to pick. I think I'll just go with Miami because I like their uniform colors.
Good pick. That's usually the ones that you get, yes, right.
That works. That's how the women in the pool.
How the women,
the office.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm with you. I like their uniforms too. Miami -2 is the pick. Carolina's traveling to Dallas. Dallas is a 4.5-point home favorite. If I was Carolina, I would feel disrespected by this number. The folks in Carolina are awful proud of their football team. Now, that being said, now those motherfuckers don't have Christian McCaffrey anymore.
That's a game changer, bud.
Whoops. Keep pounding. Keep on pounding, fellas.
Are you changing the name of your show to Keep Pounding?
Keep pounding, fellas. No, I'm not. That's the stupidest fucking expression I've ever heard in my entire life.
Keep pounding.
Keep pounding. But I don't want to bet on the Cowboys because the Cowboys -4.5. Cowboys have to win by at least 5, Dave, to win this bet.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm no Cowboy fan. Carolina, they were good against the Saints. And here's the problem is I'm the first one. I talked on my show. I basically said, look, throw this game away. Just throw it away. The coaches are out. And people are like, all the coaches were out. We have all these injuries. But so-and-so didn't play well. I don't want to hear all that nonsense, man. You cannot. They have coaches for a reason.
Right.
But that game is burned into my memory. And so for the rest of the season, I am going to feel like Carolina is a better team than they probably are.
They've got a great defense. Defense.
Listen, they're not a bad team. They're a good team. I'm just simply saying that their values overinflated my head because of the Saints game,
right,
regardless of the circumstances. And the circumstances, I said, just toss it away. It didn't mean anything. That will stick with me. Having said that, the Cowboys, for the first time, actually look like a really good team. They look like their defense is fast. Now, they had some offensive line issues last week. One guy got suspended for trying to bribe the LSU kid. Did you hear about that?
Leo Collins.
Yeah,
do you remember why he wasn't a first round draft pick and why he didn't get fucking drafted?
His girlfriend got murdered and they thought maybe it was him.
Yes.
So he was trying to bribe the drug testing people who came to wherever and said, "You're doing a test," and
he tried to bribe them. A gangster. He's the Tony Soprano. He's the Tony Soprano of right guards.
Well, I mean, listen, you go that far, you should just whack them, put them in the closet. Got the cleanup man to come.
Yeah. Do a Hernandez. Do an Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's brother-in-law, fiance's sister's fiance to kill him. The drug test guy.
And then just drag his body away when the cops show up. Just be like, no, he never showed up, man. I thought he was going to come test me today. He didn't make it.
You're probably more likely to get away with that than trying to bribe the professional drug test guy.
I don't know. Well, I mean, here's the other thing. I mean, how did he bribe him? Did he like pull out a 10 and say, "Hey, buddy, this right here can be yours. You know, by the time the guy, he's probably in tears, the guy's walking out and he's up to like 10 grand. You know, I mean, it's, I bet it could have been a very pathetic moment to watch a 300-pound man crying and begging the, that's just a crazy situation. Again, that's another first, right? Yes. Anyway, so back to the game. Carolina Panthers, I don't know. I'm waiting for Sam Darnold for the wheels to come off. No Christian McCaffrey. And this will be their first full game without him, so that means Dallas can prepare without worrying about McCaffrey. I'm going to go with Dallas, and I know they have to win by five.
Yep.
They have some skilled players in Dallas, and they look to be a pretty good team defensively and offensively. So, I don't know. And again, NFC South. So, I'm going to lean, if I have a which one, I'm going to lean to the non-NFC South team. So, I'm going Dallas.
Staying away from it altogether. Next game day is our beloved New Orleans Saints.
I like those guys.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of them. Well, they're getting to play in the Superdome for the first time in a while. And since an NFC wildcard game last year. And they're playing the New York Giants. Saints have got a little more credibility after their victory over New England last week with Vegas, at least. The Saints are a 7.5-point home favorite to the New York Giants. Total on the game is 42, so Vegas doesn't think we're going to score. This wouldn't be considered a high-scoring game with a total of 42. This game, Dave, you know, I've made the mistake in the very recent past of putting my money with the Saints. But they've also won me some money, too. And they're going to do it again this week, but I'm going to make their job 6 points easier. I'm going to tease the Saints from a 7.5-point favorite to a 1.5-point favorite by including them in my 6-point teaser along with Tennessee minus one.
See, I like that little thing. You have to tell me a little bit about that later.
That's what we're doing. Do it
that
right
sounds
now.
Like some. That sounds like something that would work. That sounds like something that might work for me.
Yeah.
Give me a bunch of points and pick teams I like. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, 66% of the time they lose every time.
All right, so you got Daniel Jones as your quarterback if you're a Giant fan. Barkley's questionable. Galloway, receiver, questionable. Shepard, receiver, questionable. Slayton, questionable. Their left guard, questionable. They're pretty banged up.
They're ripe for the picking.
Yeah, they're ripe to get skull. What was the comment?
Skull drag.
I like that one. That was the first time I heard it. Usually it's skull and then something that I
F word. Yeah,
skull. Yeah, the F word. I try to stay away from the F word.
I hear you. So look at you.
Do
you? Have I not been paying attention? I don't know. I can't even remember. I'm so frivolous with the F word that I don't even really pay attention to other people using the F word. So now I'm gonna start paying attention.
I don't cuss on my show.
I know, but I mean in life,
I cuss a little bit more. But I'm on your show, so I want to show you the same respect I would have on my show. So
but we say fuck all the time on this show.
Yeah, no, I know you guys do. It's no, very popular.
I'm gonna pay attention to you now.
So the only way I can stand out and be different is that I don't cuss. So
I'm gonna keep my eye on you.
Yeah, I'm watching, buddy. I'm watching. But on the other hand, the Saints are there. We don't have our left tackle. We don't have our center. Our right guard is playing center and he's struggling. On defense, y'all know the troubles that we have. You know, we have guys out like Alexander, Onyemata still suspended, Davenport. And we're going to railroad these guys. And mainly the only thing that concerns me a little bit is I noticed that the Saints struggled a little bit in getting pressure with only a 4-man rush. Mm-hmm. Now the Giants don't have a great offensive line to begin with. One guy, you know, offensive lineman, you know, we always like to have at least one of their guys on offensive line have an injury or something that slows them down a little bit. But the Saints cover so well and play the run so well that, you know, hey, man, as long as you do a good job of staying in your lanes and rushing the passer and not giving them, you know, 7 seconds to throw, I still don't think they can move the ball on us. And conversely, I don't know. I don't know how, in hindsight, I don't know how we move the ball all year, but I think it will be something more in the lines of, you know, games one and three, where they're going to run the ball, obviously, and pick their times to make plays. So, listen, right now, I'm not going to tell you I'm extremely confident in the Saints, but when I look at the Giants, they lost to Atlanta, who we both think of bottom teams. I mean, I think the Giants are bottom team. I don't know how they lose this game. I mean, they would have to play so poorly and make so many mistakes that to give the Giants every opportunity. So I'm going to say straight up 7 points. I think the Saints cover that.
It's 7.5, so they got to get 8.
Oh, you get picky with the half. See, they're going to blow them out so bad that no one's worrying about half.
You're not worried if the Saints accidentally turn the ball over 4 times and only win by 6.
Now that then we got problems. yeah. Then we got
problems. Shit happens every week. That's why I'm teasing it from 7.5 to 1.5. That way I don't have these kind of problems.
Yeah, you don't. No problems in your life.
No.
I like it.
No.
Yeah. All right.
I'll tell you one problem a lot of people are going to have. We got a pick'ems thing happening in the Dome Patrol where my cat is participating and he's beating some people we know. He's beating some people we consider friends in the league. I've been making the mistake of releasing the cat's picks like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So all these motherfuckers get to see what the cat is doing.
That is so rude.
Uh-huh. So you know what I'm doing now?
What?
I'm waiting till Sunday morning to reveal the cat's picks.
You know what? That's slick. Mm-hmm. You one of those guys. See, you don't let them. Nobody's going to take advantage of you.
And we'll see who puts their picks in after the cat on Sunday morning.
Huh?
Yeah.
Then you'll know for sure.
He's a smart motherfucker, this cat.
Yeah. And you know what? Then what are you going to do though? I mean, is there going to be some repercussions? I mean, you a knee breaker kind of gambler guy like that? Like, you owe me some money.
No, I've never operated a book personally.
Interesting.
I know you don't believe me.
I have no reason not to believe you, man. You seem like an honest feller.
I am, but honest fellers can also be bookies. It's a weird thing.
I think my dad was. He used to keep like tons of money in the freezer. That's a good indicator, right?
Yeah.
And guys would come like every like Monday. There'd always be a bunch of dudes coming through, and he'd go out there and talk to him for a little bit.
Did he watch the games very intently?
Oh no, dude. Where do you think I got it from?
Okay,
you
know so yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, your dad probably was. That's cool. I like that. Is he still around?
It's a long story.
Okay, never mind. We call him next week. Man, talk to him.
Do you have some fancy music like those guys over at Dome Patrol?
I have like psychedelic metal and classic rock going on in the background of my show the entire time.
Oh, right. Nice.
Yeah. Dave, the next game is Pittsburgh traveling to Green Bay. team that we know a little bit about.
Yeah.
Saints fans.
Yeah. Experts.
Yeah. Green Bay is 6.5-point favorites in this game at home. They're -6.5. Total on this game is 45.5. Dave, I got to tell you, I've been watching Pittsburgh. I've been watching Green Bay. 6.5 is a lot of points. I have no doubt that Green Bay is going to win this game. I really don't. And this is the game in the New Orleans market that we're going to get to watch on one of the networks. This is the third and final game of my 3-game teaser. These 3 games that I picked to move the line 6 points. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take Green Bay, who I really believe very strongly, I think Pittsburgh's done. I think Big Ben is cooked. He's done. Yeah. This is the farewell tour is going to be kind of a sad one.
No confidence. Take
Green Bay from 6.5 down to just a point half, like a half point favorite instead of a 6.5-point favorite.
Gunna, I want to get in on that.
Well, you just do that. You pair that with the Saints, where you take the Saints. You take the Saints from 7.5 down to 1.5, and you take Tennessee from -7 against the fucking Jets to -1 against the Jets.
I'm going to text you.
I'm actually good at this, by the way. I try to low key not say that I'm good at this, and I will over report my losses because I don't want to be considered a fucking tout. But no, Dave, I wouldn't do this, Dave, if it was costing me.
No, I mean every one of them. I'm like, hell yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, and then
I'm
like, exactly.
I mean, that.
How does it ever fail?
That's why I need to talk to you about it.
How can it fail? Teaser of the week is what we call it.
Yeah, yeah.
How can this possibly fucking fail? There's 13-point teasers. 13-point teasers, you got to pick four games. And you get to move any four games line 13 points.
Dang.
And you can do the total, too. You can take the total from 42 to fucking 29.
I mean, that just sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you about that, seriously.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
All right.
So, I love turning people into gamblers.
So, I mean, you know what? Sometimes I like to just take a look. Listen, I'm not opposed to gambling. I'm just really bad at it. That's why I generally
Most
don't
people
mess
are.
Around with
that's
it.
Why they, that's why they build fantastically beautiful casinos.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, I could sit here and tell you Pittsburgh. I mean, they just and it's only going to get worse.
Man.
And there's something surprising about a team that has the mentality of a champion. Winners, you know, used to. And then when they start losing, boy, it snowballs fast because, you know, and especially if they know why. Like, in other words, Roethlisberger's done. They know there's no cavalry coming in. There's nobody coming in. Then they start trying to save themselves. Yeah, Green Bay, man.
You think they're going to clear? They're going to win, but they wouldn't by seven now unless you come with
me.
You're going to walk with me. You're going to walk with Gunn.
But
you're going to walk.
I mean,
but you've already said you're walking with me.
Yeah,
so
man.
You're going to do the same. So you're going to take Green Bay from 6.5 down to a half.
I'll take. I mean, listen. I'm going to do it normal. I'll pick Green Bay even with
you
the
think
seven.
Green Bay's win by seven. Okay.
But yeah. Whenever I call you up with my $5,
I'm
going to invest it into that. Bring it down to one thing.
That's okay.
Like that.
I'm the right guy to call.
Yeah, man.
Maybe.
All right.
I'm not a bookie.
Call me maybe.
Call me maybe. This feels crazy.
This is crazy.
Oh, no.
Here's my number.
You've already got my number.
I got little daughters, man, so I have an excuse.
Dude,
oh, you
do too.
So.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
do
all right.
That, that
all
was
right.
That
so we can sing that all
a,
we want.
That song was a thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness
yeah.
gracious. It, like, I had, like, I think she was, would have been 8 or 9 or 7 or something. That song's out. Last game we're going to talk about is kind of the big story game of the weekend. Tampa Bay and the Toms are traveling to New England to take on the Patriots, who obviously we got a good look at last week. Tampa Bay is coming in as 7-point favorites. So that means they're giving Bill Belichick 7 points at home against that Tampa Bay team that got beat pretty convincingly on the road in L.A. last week. And now they got to turn around. They got to go on the road to Foxborough and or Gillette Stadium, I should say. Dave, what do you think about the big game that everybody's excited about this weekend? And it's going to be on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, that's nice.
That
and
makes
Drew Brees
a difference.
Will be there.
Makes it. Drew Brees will be there. That makes a difference.
Oh. Well, I said Drew Brees, but the reason I'm saying Drew Brees is because Brady's only less than 100 yards away from breaking Drew Brees's.
You can do it with him there.
Yeah, so they obviously did the math on that and figured out, hey, this is when we need to do it and do it on
Fantastic.
Sunday night because Drew will be there. So you, now I want to tell you what I think about Brady, and then I'm going to use the F word that I just told you I don't use.
It's good because I'm watching you for that.
EFF Tom Brady. I hate that this is happening like this. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, it's not going to be much of a game. It's going to be similar to the Saints game. Mac Jones, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He's not ready for what Tampa Bay is going to bring in the pass rush and the speed of their linebackers. So I wouldn't expect it really to be a much of a game. It's going to be similar to the Saints game, if not worse, because, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, Tampa Bay's offense is further ahead than the Saints are right now. It could get ugly. Matter of fact, I think that old New England's the running back, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, is injured. I doubt that he'll be back. And so I think it's another pretty easy game to pick, even though the line's 7, 7.5.
Well, you're a pro, Dave.
But right. I do have to bounce, my friend. I got to put.
I do too. I do too. No, that's all I'm going to say is. Please, thank you very much for coming on.
No, man, I enjoy it.
Appreciate your time. And say goodbye to all the beautiful people listening.
All right. My man, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having you.
Later, brother.
We'll see y'all later on the other side. Bye.